Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Burning Hearts, using scripture to draw us into a deeply intimate conversation with the Lord. Rachel asks us to consider two questions. What is God saying to us? And what are we doing about it?
Hello and welcome back to Burning Hearts with me, Rachel Herbeck. So glad to have you back on the back end of our week together, going through the intro to 1 Thessalonians. And as we've talked about all week, we're going to see Paul beginning to set up this book as growth in spiritual maturity. He was with the Thessalonians. He planted this church in Acts 17. Riots broke out. Paul began to be persecuted right then in that moment, and the persecution continued in the church of the Thessalonians. And now he's writing to them, even though he was only there a short time, he's writing to them, and he's beginning by encouraging them. We saw at the beginning of the week, he's encouraging them. He says, I'm praying for you. I'm thanking God for you constantly because you're so steadfast. You're holding on to your hope. And guess what? You're beloved by God and you're chosen. You're chosen by him, reminding him that before he even gets into anything else, reminds them you are chosen. And I think it's interesting, and I was thinking about this as I was reflecting on it, even though that was the first episode we did this week, how we're always trying to get past these fundamental truths and fundamental realities. How Paul is setting up an entire letter in which he's going to encourage them through serious suffering. He's going to encourage them in their race. He's going to encourage them in faith, all of this kind of stuff. And before he does any critiquing, before he tells any ways that they need to mature, before he gives any instruction, before he says like, gets into the good stuff, quote unquote, as we would say, or like the quote unquote more theological stuff, he says, this is what you need to know first. You're chosen and you're loved. And so today, friends, just like yesterday, just like the day before, before we get into anything of the quote unquote meat, you need to know you're chosen and you're loved. And it's not a motivational speech. It's not like, again, stirring ourselves up to be like, look how great I am. It's a reality that God says about you. You're chosen by God. And because you're chosen by God, he gives you the power of the Holy Spirit, that your baptism and confirmation. And then when we preach the gospel, it goes out with power in the Holy Spirit with full conviction. And that's what we've been talking about the last couple of days. So we're going to pray our Psalm, Psalm 15, one of my favorites here. And then we are going to get back into that first chapter of 1 Thessalonians. So if you'll join me. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Psalm 15. Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? The one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, and casts no slur on others, who despises a vile person but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. Whoever does these things will never be shaken. Lord, we just ask that we would be people who would be able to dwell with you, who would be able to climb your holy mountain, who would be able to dwell in your sacred tent. And so we ask that we would walk blameless, that we would walk righteous, that we would speak truth from our hearts, that we would look out for our neighbor, that we would follow the commandments of the Lord so that we may never be shaken. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I love this psalm. It's kind of switching gears. Lord, who can dwell with you? I think it's a question we need to ask ourselves every day. Lord, how can we be with you? How can we dwell with you? And he kind of does this list of things. The one who fears the Lord, the one who doesn't break their promises, the one who doesn't slander, the one who doesn't wrong their neighbor, the one who doesn't change their mind, the one who gives to the poor, whoever does these things will not be shaken. Today, how do we know? How can we not be shaken? Walk blamelessly before the Lord with integrity. Speak the truth out of your mouth. All these different things. I think that's so good. And if we walk in these ways, we will never be shaken. Amen. Okay, so we are back in our 1 Thessalonians passage. We're going to start with verse 5. For our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction, with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us what a welcome we had among you, and how you turned to God from idols, to serve a living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. Amen. So we ended off saying we need to, the word of God comes in power, in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. And I think the next line is so interesting. Paul says, you know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake. So Paul's saying we came there in Acts and we planted this church, and you saw through our time with you what kind of men we were. We proved ourselves to you. So Paul is going from place to place to place to disciple people. And he's not just going in there being like, everyone follow me, I'm the best. He proves himself among them. This is so, so, so important for discipleship and leadership and those that are following us and those in the world. We must prove ourselves. And not in like a negative way, but to show, we must show people what kind of people we are. And what I mean by that is we don't automatically get a right to speak into each other's lives. We don't automatically get a right to say people should follow us as we follow Christ, as Paul said. Because that's a Paul will say that, a pretty bold thing. He says, follow me as I follow Christ. And even next, he says, you became imitators of us. There's a way in which as we follow Christ, others should begin to follow us on the path of righteousness. But the character needs to be proven. There's a way in which we need to go to those we are leading with humility, and we need to serve, and we need to prove our character. We need to humble ourselves. We need to become the servant of all. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you, that this is part of discipleship, is walking in character, is walking in holiness, is walking as a person that David described in Psalm 15, someone who keeps their word. This is someone worthy to be followed, someone who keeps their word, someone who helps the poor, someone who's pure of heart, someone who walks and tries to walk blamelessly. They proved themselves trustworthy. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord, for you received the word in much affliction, with joy inspired by the Holy Spirit. So I love this pattern. They go into the city. They prove themselves to be trustworthy people of character. People see that God has worked in their life. And then they become imitators of Paul and Silas. They become imitators of them. And they say, we want to follow you as you follow Christ. To become an imitator of someone is to do what they did. This is super, super convicting. Not that long ago, I had someone be like, I would love for you to disciple me regularly. And as I began to sit down with them and walk through life with them, I began to see I need to give them access, not just to my words, not just to my teaching, but to my life. They need to be with me. They need to walk with me. They need to be close to me. And if they do that, they'll see how I spend my time. They'll see what time I'm getting up in the morning. They'll see when I'm taking my prayer time, if I'm leaving it early. They'll see how I'm speaking to other people. They'll see the real witness of my life. And a question for us as we're discipling people and as we're evangelizing to people, is our life imitatable? Jesus asked the disciples to come and follow him. And they followed him and they imitated what he did. Paul asked people to come and follow him so that they could follow Christ, and they imitated the life of a disciple. They imitated in a good way, to become imitators of us and of the Lord. And so here's a question, even for your kids, even for your family, even for people who are seeing you, is your life imitatable? If someone came and wanted to do what you do, would it be positive? Or would they be I thought of this the other night because I was scrolling so much on my phone. And I was like, if someone imitated my life, they'd spend a lot of time scrolling. And it's a conviction. It's not to say everyone should do always exactly what we do. Of course not. But a key part of community and discipleship and evangelization is not just teaching. It's not just saying the words, but it's making our life available to people so that they can become imitators of us and imitators of Christ. And so look at your life. What are your habits? What are your in between? Like, what do you even do when you're like sitting at a coffee shop? How are you speaking to people? What do you like when you're impatient? What do you like when you're frustrated? What do you like when you're mad? Are these parts of you that you would want other people to see? And I'm not saying we're always perfect. I'm not saying we never fall. It's just saying as a disciple, we should have a general structure of life that includes prayer time, that includes scripture reading, that includes silence and solitude, that includes service, that includes community, that includes worship, that includes accountability, that includes taking care of our bodies, that includes not gossiping, that includes all of these different things. And so to look at our life, and like St. Benedict, is that do we have a rule of life? Is there a way and a cadence with which we live life that would allow others to enter into our lives and follow us? Or are our lives chaotic? Are they structured by our emotions? Are they structured by all these different things that we're doing every day? Or are we keeping first things first? You became imitators of us, but only after we proved to be good men. So I love this. Look at how this unfolds. And we're going to continue this tomorrow. Look at how this unfolds. The gospel came to you, not only in word, but in power and in the Holy Spirit and with full conviction. So we came to you and we preached the gospel. And that conviction and that power fell upon you and you desired to believe. And as we lived with you, after we preached the gospel, we showed you that we are men who can be trusted. We proved ourselves among you. We are following this. We are genuine. We are real. We're not fake. We're not putting on something. We're not just trying to get followers, but we're actually following the Lord and he's changing us. So the gospel goes out. We prove who we are through our own discipleship and our own character and our own walk in blamelessness. And then people, they come and they want access to Paul and Silas and Timothy's lives. And they say, we want to follow you as you follow Christ. So then they begin to live together and walk together. And the people in the church of Thessaloniki become imitators of the Lord because Paul is imitating the Lord. For some people, the only Bible they will ever read is you. The only way they will ever know how the Lord is by you imitating him. And so you say, how do I make my life open to others? How do I walk? How do I live in the power of God? Imitate Christ. Imitate Christ and then say, imitate me. Imitate Christ. What does Christ do? He serves. He dies. He points back to the Father. He's obedient. He gives glory to others. He sits with people that are outcasts. He calls people by their name, not by their sin. He heals. Am I being obedient to the Father? Am I dying to myself? How am I imitating Christ? Because it's as we imitate Christ, we prove amongst unbelievers to be the real deal. And as we prove to be the real deal, they begin to follow us as we follow Christ. So what does your life look like? Are you proving that? Are you being an imitator of the Lord? And Lord, we pray, just like in the psalm at the beginning, that was so good. We desire to imitate Jesus. We desire to walk in a blameless way. We desire that you may dwell with us. So help us to hold our tongue. Help us to love our neighbor. Help us to speak and walk in truth. Help us to keep our words. All of these things in the psalm that you tell us, if we do, we will not be shaken. And by doing those things, we will imitate you and then be worthy to be someone who is imitated by others. Amen.
Burning Hearts is hosted by Rachel Herbeck, the Director of Young Adult Discipleship for Renewal Ministries. Each program can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and at RenewalMinistries.net. Burning Hearts is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Throughout the scriptures, Jesus' teaching on the conditions for salvation are consistent, urgent, and often very challenging. Friends, I'd like to offer you my friend Pete Burak's new booklet, What Must I Do to Be Saved? This booklet unpacks several gospel passages to help us find and stay on the narrow way. To get your free copy, call 1-800-282-4789 or visit renewalministries.net/burninghearts. That's renewalministries.net/burninghearts.